As we all know, the 2020 NBA playoffs have been suspended indefinitely due to the coronavirus pandemic. Due to this travesty, we may not know who the champion for this season would have been. I'm outside the Dime courtroom as we're about to hear from representatives of different title contenders as they make their case as to why their team would have been NBA champions. Let's get straight to the action.
Raptors representatives Nick Dugal and B. This is Nick's second appearance on the Dime, where on his first, episode 54, They the North, he laid a spirited defense of the Toronto Raptors during the 2019 NBA playoffs. Nick predicted last year the Raptors would win the title, and today, he and B will try to prove why the Raptors would have repeated in 2020. Nick is not affiliated with superfan Nav Bhatia.
What you are about to listen to is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual sports personalities with authentic opinions on who would have been capable of winning the 2020 NBA Finals. The representatives have agreed to this podcast format with your host and judge, Josh Rodriguez. The Dime with Josh Rodriguez presents State Your Case. All right, Nick and B, you're representing the Toronto Raptors with the claim that they could have won the 2020 NBA championship. Is that correct?
Yes.
You got it.
We're going to treat this like any other court case. You will have your opening statement. You'll be able to introduce evidence, deal with cross-examination, and you'll have a closing statement as well. So if you're ready, we would like to hear your opening statement.
Josh, let's start off with saying the champs are here. That being said, with the Raptors trying to repeat, currently they're second in the Eastern Conference with a record of 46-19. Nick Nurse proving that his consistency and his wizardry, is that even a word, wizardry? Wizardry is just phenomenal. He should be coach of the year this year. It just shows that everything that comes against him, he'll figure it out and balance it out. That's one thing I love about Nick Nurse. And the biggest thing that the Raptors have right now, a 23-9 home record, an away record of 23-9. They're second for defensive rating with 105.2. Last year, they were actually fifth in defensive ratings at 107.1, which was fifth. So that's huge right there. And I think with the merge of Siakam, all-star average of his points have gone up. You know, going from 16 points last year now to 23, that's a huge step. And I think the guys around him, like Norman, OG, even Mark, Ibaka, Van Vliet, I think they've all balanced it out where the Raptors are, they're pretty strong with that depth on the bench as well. So that's my biggest case here. Being second, they're still counted out, but they're second right now behind the Bucks. You know, we'll see how long the Bucks can run. Because it showed last year that, you know, they ran out of gas in the end. B, what you got? You got anything on that?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think one big thing that gets underestimated is the heart of a champion. So last year, the Raptors' run was one of the most historic of all time. Sure, you know, people are going to say there's injuries here and there, and there's players out, especially in the finals. But when you do rewind that tape and you look at what they did against the Bucks and what they did against the Sixers, I think it's really something that gets lost. You really have to play that back to see how much heart they really did play with. So I was actually there for the Game 7 buzzer beater that Kawhi hit in the building. And when you left that arena, you knew that this team can do anything and everything. And they proved that right to the end. So I think that's one big thing that we need to consider is, you know, they have the heart of a champion. On top of that, I think a big thing is shot makers. So the reason the Raptors can win the title, get out of the East and win the title this year, is shot makers. They've got Fred VanVleet, Lowry, Davis, Siakam's hitting a lot of big shots now, and we've seen a lot of games, especially in these last 2 to 3 weeks before the NBA went away, where Norman Powell has really been turning it on. And I challenge a lot of people to find, you know, give me a team in the East or the West that's got as many guys that can get their own shot than the Raptors. We know that in playoff stretches, the game slows down. This is where, you know, the one-on-one dribble moves and shot makers usually will prevail. And I think we have that ready to go. So You know, we're coming, we're the North, and that's our opening statements there.
Your Honor, Judge Rodriguez, I rest my case. Is that how they say in the U.S. Court of
I think so. That's exactly what they say, actually.
I rest my case.
So you're not even going to put forth any type of additional evidence, or you don't even want to go to the closing statements, do you?
No. Keep on going. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Now, for some cross-examination, the elephant in the room. Kawhi's not there anymore. Obviously, he's a huge reason why the Raptors won the championship last year. He had the big shot against the Sixers. B, you were there for that. He was instrumental in beating the Warriors. Although, you know, the team did step up. Van Vliet had a good series. Lowry had a good series. But he's no longer your go-to guy. Siakam is now in that place. Do you believe that it is fair for the critics to say, now that Kawhi's gone, they don't have that one guy, that A-list superstar that's going to take him over the top?
Your Honor, do you? I'm pretty sure you remember when I was on that last podcast with you, how I was explaining that a lot of media critics were just counting out the Raptors. Even if they had Kawhi, they were just counting them out. Now, I feel this year, there's really no difference of what Raptors were going to get counted out no matter what. Even if, you know, Kawhi was still there. I feel like just for some reason, the media just has something against not Canadians, but it's just a team that's not in the U.S. Now, it
Nick, it's actually
sense
funny. Because... Sorry to interrupt quickly. Yep. Just want to tell you, it's actually funny that you say they get, you know, they don't get as much shine and whatnot as everyone else. And people, the media goes against them. I was actually playing 2K a couple days ago, and they actually have Dwayne Casey coaching the Raptors on NBA 2K20. I don't know how it showed up, but there's just zero respect. So continue your point, sorry.
So, okay, that being said, the issue is that I feel like the media kind of pushes towards the hotter, not hotter teams, but the teams that look more attractive, right? You know, you're going to get your LA, of course. Giannis is an exception because he's just dominating like crazy. So if the Bucks were playing good without Giannis, you know, even earlier this year, the Bucks weren't even mentioned in, you know, having the best record in the league. They were just really talking about the Lakers and Clippers and what's going on. So back to the Raptors part here, I think the biggest thing was, I feel like Siakam has done a great role of replacing basically Kawhi, and the numbers are almost there. I'm just looking at Siakam's stats right now. He's averaging 23.6 points. You know, last year, Kawhi was averaging 26 points. Rebounds, 7.3 for Kawhi. This year, Siakam's at 7.5. You know, I feel like it's balancing out. It's just, I feel like Siakam's points are very, very hidden and low-key. They don't realize how much he's actually scoring until, you know, the fourth quarter comes.
Okay, and now you talked a little bit about the Milwaukee Bucks. They're in first place. They have a 6.5 game lead as of right now, if the season were to continue. Now, last year, obviously, they exposed Giannis a little bit in the series, but the Bucks were up 2-0, and they did take the Raptors into double overtime in Game 3. They could have been up 3-0. You put Kawhi on him. You kind of dropped down, made Giannis take some jump shots, but he's been hitting those shots this year, not to a point where I say I'm scared of him, but he's evolved a little bit. Without Kawhi again, who are you going to stick on him, and how do you plan on stopping Giannis?
So, Your Honor, I think that's the biggest thing. He is hitting his shots, but when it comes to the playoffs, that's a totally different animal. So, game 1 and 2, we should test him out. Let's see how hard those shots are getting. And you know, you can put Pascal on him. You can put Ibaka. You know, if he's just trying to hit jumpers only, you can even put a smaller guy on there. You can switch it up with Norman, but if he's really trying to dominate, you want to put the bigger guys and put the bigger bodies on him. Even put a Gasol on him and let him sit back. And you know, Gasol's got long arms; he can contest those shots. And I think that makes a big difference. Really, let's see who is role players. See what they can do. See if they can step up. And I think we can use the same plan as last year. Just prove his worth. Well, how big of an MVP can you be when, you know, you're only averaging, let's say, 35 points, but what are your teammates doing? And I think that's, in the end, that's where it goes to great coaching. and good role players. So, you know, that being said, the Raptors, Van Vliet, again, played awful throughout the playoffs, merged as this unreal player since he had his kid. And, you know, that changed the game. So, B, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm actually excited to see the Bucks in the playoffs because I think the Raptors are built to stop Giannis. We've seen this before. Giannis, where he really shines is when he can really get up and down the floor, right? When he has the ball and he can, you know, prance right to the rim and dunk it, that's where he's going to shine. But I think you'd probably be strained to find another team that's going to pack the height and the length that the Raptors are with Siakam, like you said. I think they would have Siakam on him one-on-one, but I think a lineup that consists of, you know, say a Boucher and an Ibaka or a Boucher and a Gasol, it's going to get very tough to get down in that lane, even if he has a head of steam. We've seen it a couple months ago before the NBA went away again. Boucher had two or three blocks on Giannis coming into the paint, and he was making it really tough because at the end of the day, it's Giannis's wingspan that, you know, really gets him that big advantage. And I think we're really built to stop him. And who else is going to stop him other than a team that's done it before? And let's not forget, Kawhi, obviously, you know, a top 3-4 player, top 2 player in the league. But you have to consider that this is a scheme thing too, right? All these guys are professional players. In terms of defense, I think if Nick Nurse is running the same scheme, I think psychologically it kind of works in there as well because Giannis might be coming down and, you know, looking at the Raptors that, hey, I couldn't do this before. They figured out how to stop me before. And I think a lot of the time that gets into people's heads. And, you know, I hope we get to see that matchup because I think the Raptors are going to do very well in handling that. So,
Josh, I think one of the biggest things is during the playoffs, you know, it's a boxing match. You're trying to go for those 12 rounds. I feel like the Bucks are just trying to go for the knockout, the haymaker in the first three rounds, and then they just gas out, right? So I think that's kind of the big difference when it comes to the Raptors and to the Bucks, which is going to make the Raptors go to the finals.
So now they get to the finals, and now let's just say hypothetically they play the Clippers. Kawhi is a Clipper. Paul George, free agent acquisition. They have beefed up. A lot of people think they're the most talented team in the league. How do you think they match up against the Clippers? Do you think they're better than the Clippers or more talented? I mean, you can win the East. You may have convinced some people you can win the East. Now you got to convince them you can beat the Clippers.
Do you think the Clippers are going to be healthy? Kawhi, you know, Kawhi's getting a lot of flack on his whole resting strategy. And now that he's in the bigger picture, he's been exposed on that. So I think that's the biggest thing. So is the NBA going to push really hard and say, hey, you can't just let him rest for the sake of resting. He's got to play.
But what if they are healthy though? What if they are healthy? Assuming all teams are healthy.
Yeah. So if they're healthy, like, I feel like we balance out very well. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, Kawhi is definitely going to match up with Siakam. And this is the matchup we want, you know, the apprentice to the master, if you want to look at it that way. And I think, you know, it's gonna balance out who can hit their shots, who's gonna, you know, emerge as the role players. You know, you got Patrick Beverley, Kyle Lowry can go one on one. Van Vliet, Lou, Ibaka. You know, I always feel Ibaka is such a game changer. When he hits his shots, I feel his defense is always gonna be there. It's not gonna be as great as it used to be when he was with, you know, as OKC, but I feel like when he gets his shots, when he gets his, you know, his the ball rolling with them, he's really untouchable and he makes the big difference. So when you have taller guys like Zubac, yeah, like he's new, but when you have Gasol and Ibaka, these guys are seasoned veterans. They know what to do. They've been through this. That being a veteran makes a big difference. I think, you know, experience is going to go a long way.
All right, now what if it's the Lakers? LeBron, AD. I mean, they're less athletic. I think the Lakers are less dynamic in my mind, at least. But what do you think? Do you prefer the Lakers or Clippers?
Honestly, both teams are really tough. I think a lot of people are going to give me flack on this here. So how proven is Anthony Davis in the playoffs? That's my biggest question right now.
He's won one playoff series. That's it. Just one.
Would they sweep? They swept the Blazers, I think, a couple of years back.
Yeah, the Blazers.
So, yeah, like I, just to tag in on that here, I think I would favor playing the Lakers. I don't know if Nick would be on my side on that, but like you said, Josh, the Lakers are a little less dynamic. I think defensively they're not as good as a team, but I think that is one big thing. LeBron is obviously, you know, LeBronto and all this stuff, right? He's those turnaround fadeaways. He's taken over Toronto in the past, right? We've been the number one team in the East and he swept us, right, a couple times. So I don't think that would happen this time, but I would favor going up as against the Lakers just because of the Anthony Davis hasn't proved himself in terms of that. And I think the load could be pretty big on LeBron. He's playing at an MVP level. But sometimes when teams do lock in and, you know, we're going to see this matchup, you know, late. Like this is the end of the playoffs matchup. This isn't in the beginning where, you know, he's going to be ready to go in terms of how much energy and stuff like that he has. So I think AD does come down to the biggest thing in this. And Nick, you were just saying that he's not proven, right? So I think it's a huge point.
Don't get me wrong. AD is probably one of the best four spot guys in the league for sure. But again, the playoffs are a different animal. So he's got to be proven. I'm just looking at the roster right now. You got, you know, Dion Waiters, who they just signed, highly doubt he's going to play. Rondo is going to play. You know, how consistency is he going to be? Is it normally, you know, them just relying on LeBron?
We haven't seen Kuzma step up, right?
Kuzma hasn't really stepped up. You got McGee as well as Dwight Howard. What's that combo going to be? Like, are they even going to play? If they bench one of the guys, let's say Dwight Howard plays, and then the next game they bench Dwight Howard and get JaVale McGee. That kind of unbalances the dynamics of the team here, right? Caruso, how proven is he? Quinn Cook, still a great shooter. But, you know, I'm just looking at the roster, and the Lakers look like a better matchup to play. Yeah, LeBron's, you know, the GOAT. But still, how much can you ride LeBron? It's really up to Anthony Davis to see what he can do. And if he's, you know, if he's not playing well, who's really going to step up? I think we're going back to this whole Milwaukee conversation. Who's really going to step up into this next round? And, you know, you got Danny Green, Rondo, LeBron, Avery Bradley. Those guys are pretty much championship players who've been in that league. You know, Kuzma's great, but again, where has he been? He's supposed to be the third guy, right? Markieff Morris, great player, but still, you know, Kansas guy, that's my guy, but a lot of these guys need to be proven. And I feel like the Lakers really missed out on Iguodala. I think that would have been the game changer. And without him, they shot themselves in the foot with that. They should have taken Iguodala.
They missed out on everyone, it seemed like, right? And I think depth is going to be big there too, because obviously we're talking about these teams being at full strength, but you can't forget that, you know, in the last 5 years, there's probably been a significant injury every single way to the NBA championship, right? The Warriors, you know, had Chris Paul out in that game 6 or 7. You know, they had Kyrie out in the finals the first year. They've had a couple years where Dame's been out. So, you know, obviously we don't want to cast that on any teams, but that's why, you know, before, you know, when free agency starts and, you know, signing players is so big, the Lakers haven't done it, right? Like the Raptors have that depth. And if all things are equal, you know, usually you may lose a guy or two coming up to it. And I hope, you know, it's a fully fair matchup, but history has shown that someone, you know, may be hurt or may lose someone. I think all those dynamics play towards how the Raptors have built that roster. So I think that's a big thing as well in this argument.
All right, let's get closing statements. I would like to hear what you guys would like to say to close out your argument as to why the Raptors could win the 2020 championship if we resume play.
Oh, don't say that. Oh, I hate the if word. Please, for everything that is good in this world, give us the NBA back in at least a couple months.
The biggest thing that the Raptors can do is, one, I think as a team, they believe in each other. Nick Nurse believes in. I think the, another big thing is that they know who their leader is. They know what to do. Defense, I know a lot of people see the NBA as an all-offensive league now, but really defense in the end makes a big difference. You know, those charges, those 8 billion charges that Kyle Lowry will do, that goes a long way. You know, Marcus Gasol, he's healthy now. He'll be ready when the season starts. I feel like this is a resurgence of guys who have been hurt. Now, my biggest question is, do guys who are have been out, do they get to play, like, a, for example, Kevin Durant? Do they get to play during the playoffs now? Or
I would assume if they're healthy, I would assume that they would be playing.
Because that makes a big difference. Because right now, I think the Raptors would be playing the Nets right now. So you'll have a healthy Kyrie, you'll have a healthy Durant. But again, Durant's just starting to play, so who knows how well
that would be ridiculous if they put him in, I think.
But in the end, the Raptors really, you know, we have the depth. We have an amazing coach. We have seasoned players. We have guys who can literally put up 30 points a game. Norman Powell, you got Van Vliet. Kyle Lowry, amazing, amazing point guard, knows his role. He's not trying to do too much. He knows what to do. Siakam has emerged, guy who's averaging, you know, 25 points a game. His rebounds are amazing. His defense is phenomenal. One steal a game, one block a game. And, you know, with Ibaka and Gasol, I feel like this is the best chance that the Raptors can do. Siakam wasn't up there as he was this year. I feel like I would probably hesitate with what I'm saying, but I'm so strong on Siakam where the Raptors are looking good for the future, and we're going to go back to back. And Josh, we're going to kill it.
All right. You made a pretty convincing case. I'm not going to lie. You brought it. You definitely brought it, man. You and B. Nice.
I had nothing else to do today. So,
you know, we thought we'd come on, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. That was fun. Now, I don't know if you know this, but your case has been made, but it will also be heard by a podcast jury of your peers. So a verdict will soon follow.
I feel like, no, I'm not going to, I shouldn't say it. I should say it.
Say it. Say it.
Just don't treat our argument like the media treats the Raptors and how 2K Sports treats.
Don't think of me as Canadian. Don't think of me as Canadian. Treat me like I'm from LA or something. Let's put it that way.
All right, you heard it there. Guys, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much. Where can everyone follow you if they want to get a taste of what you guys do? You guys have your own podcast, Thirst World Podcast.
Yeah, you can follow us, Thirst World Problems, on Instagram, thirstworldproblems.ca. Yeah, we have a CA. You can follow myself at Brown Ryan Gosling. Yeah, you heard that. Brown Ryan Gosling. And B, where can they follow you?
That's it. You hit it all on top of the head. Thirst World, at Thirst World Pod on Instagram.
There we go.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining me. Until next week, another installment of the Dime State Your Case series will follow. I'll catch you then.